9 o'clock, straight up, brought to you by Gina G and Pietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. It is trade deadline day in Major League Baseball. Yesterday, the Buccos moved Ke Bryan Hayes to the Cincinnati Reds for an A-ball prospect shortstop and a left-handed reliever who's getting paid $12 million this year. The Reds ate half the salary. Pirates also moved Caleb Ferguson. Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic is reporting that the Pirates are not planning on trading Mitch Keller today. Noah Hiles of the Post-Gazette also says he doesn't think the Pirates are going to trade Keller, but we're seeing relievers get moved for all kinds of goodies, and the Pirates have a couple of good ones at their disposal. And there's a recent report that the Yankees and the Pirates had discussed David Bednar, with a possible return being three players coming back the Pirates' way. There's nothing over the finish line. Those talks seemingly fizzled during the weekend, according to reports, but could be revisited today. Should anything happen, we will keep you up to speed. 412-928-9370 is the text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Aaron Rodgers yesterday spoke to the media, talked to Pat McAfee, has been saying all the right things about offensive coordinator Arthur Smith.
Getting more comfortable as the days go on. There's not my own playbook and Arthur. It's Arthur's playbook. Now I'm finding, you know, ways within it to add, you know, little stuff here and there. But it's Arthur's playbook, and I like it. I like it a lot. But
did you tell me there was a 13-9 chant that broke out yesterday?
Yeah, that's what I heard. 13-9 chant, and Aaron Rodgers was up there doing his thing as he just was, and he looks at Pat and looks kind of behind him, I think, and goes, 13 what?
Do you think he knew and was kind of trying to throw a dagger at Pat, or do you think he was just not aware?
I think he had
aware?
No clue.
Yeah.
No clue.
He'll learn.
I wish I could be as blissfully ignorant about that moment as he clearly is. So Rodgers talks about the playbook there, and he would go on to say in the availability with the Pittsburgh media that Arthur's not married to any one thing and that they're going to tailor the offense to the personnel that they have. Well, this is my favorite day of the week because I got my two football guys in here. Ideally, what should they be looking to look like? What should the identity of this offense be this season?
I think what they're going to have to do, what we talked about earlier, I think that they always wanted to be a 12 personnel team, two tight ends. They clearly have a lot of tight ends and tight ends that they can use in different ways. I mean, even 13 personnel, I think, will be rolled in there a lot, which is three tight ends. I think that they want to be balanced, clearly. They want to, every offensive team wants to be balanced, but I think that the usage and the utilization of the tight ends is going to be what their identity is this year. Whether it's in the run game, whether it's in the pass game, whether it's in the red zone, whether it's, you know, wherever on the field, they are going to want to use Pat Freiermuth, Jonnu Smith, and Darnell Washington a lot. And I think that's what it should be, because that's the heaviest part of your offense. Like, yeah. That's the highest players and personnel that you have that can really make this offense go.
And real quick, Pat, I mean, you've been saying for a long time now, Dorn, like, even if you improve nowhere else, you should be worlds better in the red zone.
Yep.
Worlds better. And not for nothing, but maybe for absolutely nothing, the first team offense won the 7-shots drill yesterday. They were live. They're tackling. The offense made some plays.
Yeah. I mean, I think that they're more well-positioned at quarterback, for sure, with a proven Hall of Fame caliber player who played at a high level at times a year ago and on a bad team. I think their best position group, without question, is tight end. I'm not the only one that thinks that. I think it's pretty well known. And I think they'll live in that world a lot. And the more they do, the more indicative it will be of them being efficient on first and second down, which means they run the ball more consistently. Which, again, they got behind the chains a lot, and that's not where you want to live if you're unsure about your left tackle. Where I'm curious, to say the least, is third down efficiency and what they decide to do in those circumstances. I think the guy that could get lost in the shuffle here, if you're in 12 and 13 personnel, is a guy like Calvin Austin, who can be a difference maker. How do you get him on the field and get him touches on first and second down, on normal downs, and not just have him live in the slot on third and medium to long? Because he is a game changer out there. But if you're an 11 personnel, I mean, you can go some slot formation and have, you know, two tight ends into the boundary and do what you want to do in the run game. But having him and DK work together, I think, is another component of this offense that I think we'll see grow this year.
Calvin Austin getting lost in the shuffle is interesting to me because you feel like those tight ends are going to work primarily in line and out of the slot. And we've talked a bunch about Jonnu Smith being a guy that played a lot outside last year in Miami and really throughout his career. I could see him on those third down situations being in the slot, Jonnu Smith being on the outside, but you should be able to mix and match fairly well based on the opponents you're playing. But you got to have something you hang your hat on. And I think they want it to be that running game. And I'm optimistic about that. But I also think you got to give Aaron some freedom that Russ did not have. And I think they're willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you try to reel Rodgers in for as long as they did if you're not going to give him some of that freedom. But what I mean by that is we talk about bad down and distance situations. The Steelers led the league in rushing attempts last year. I don't hate that. What I hate is by percentage, they ran the ball on second and long more than any team in the NFL. And other teams knew it. It became incredibly predictable. You can't be living in that zone this year because then it does create those long down and distance situations on third downs. Now, Broderick Jones and Troy Fautanu got to stand up and make plays, and that's when you can get into some massive trouble.
Well, I think that in any circumstance, usually an offensive coordinator is always willing to give a quarterback as much leeway as possible, only if the other 10 guys can get to the same level as the quarterback. It's never really about the quarterback. It's about everybody else getting on the same page as the quarterback of, you know, identifying things, changing things, audibling things. So when we talk about Aaron Rodgers, you know, being given some leeway of doing what he wants at the line of scrimmage, it's more about can Calvin Austin, you know, get on that same page as Aaron Rodgers? Can Roman Wilson be on the same page? Can Darnell Washington, can Jonnu Smith, can DK Metcalf, can Caleb Johnson in the offensive line be, you know, protection-wise? Like, it takes more than just a quarterback for a quarterback to get, you know, in the offense to have that much leeway. So I think once they get to a point where everybody understands what they're doing, then you'll see more leeway from Rodgers.
And he said by the end of next week, he thinks he'll have everything down pat. He knows what he's supposed to do. He said the way he put it was when he closes his eyes now, like he wants to be able to just be able to see everything and how it transpires.
Right.
And he said he's not quite there at that point just yet.
Yeah, you're still thinking going to the line of scrimmage. You're still double checking, like, second-guessing yourself because it's mainly the terminology.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're running the same plays largely that I doubt there's much new aside from maybe how it's taught, maybe something that is unique to how a route combination is run for Arthur Smith's offense versus Matt LaFleur or whoever else. Like, but those are very minor details. And I think the other thing about this team, too, that they've got to be a better play-action team. Like, that can help a left tackle. That can help a young offensive line. And to do that, you have to be able to run it consistently. And attempts are fine. Efficiency is how many negative yardage runs do you have? How often are you behind the chains? Like, older quarterback who can sling it, one of the best play-action quarterbacks of all time in terms of ball handling and all those things. Like, he is elite at that. Better than anybody maybe in league history. That is a nice fit, I think, for what they have. And then you start to really accentuate what Jonnu Smith can do well, and Freiermuth starts to sneak them out on deep crossing routes or out routes and so forth off play action. And if you can get DK one-on-one out there, you saw what he did to Joey Porter. I mean, you got a one-on-one, just he's a killer out there. And then you get Calvin on. I mean, there's a lot of options for this offense. I don't think it is required to get another receiver in order to maximize who they can be. The biggest concern I have is what we've talked about for the majority of the show. And they got to do things, I think, with that in mind, right, is how they do that.
I think having DK Metcalf really helps, even Broderick Jones, and helps this offense so much because, you know, there's going to be a play concept that's called, but I guarantee that most of the time, whenever DK Metcalf is the X receiver on the backside alone, that there's going to be a tag between him and Aaron Rodgers, that if they get a certain coverage, that Aaron is going to get it out like that. Before even Myles Garrett could even get off the ball, DK Metcalf, as just Pat just said, if you watch that clip of him beating Joey Porter Jr., like, that's what he's good at. He's good at getting off the line, beating, and then separating. And he's usually always open. That's where he's made his most money. So you call like a sluggo, which is a slant and go. Yep. and you know, you kind of pump it real quick and then toss it up. I mean, that's just what, 1 second where Broderick Jones doesn't even have the opportunity to have to even engage into a rush end. So having DK Metcalf on that backside is going to help a lot in what they do and kind of hide some maybe of the warts.
I think you'll also see some of the stuff he did in Green Bay with the bullets and now routes. Yep. Well, you got to tackle DK Metcalf in space, right? Like Aaron Rodgers is, and Brett Favre was just like this. I mean, really, it's amazing watching those two play and how similar their mannerisms are and how much Aaron morphed his game. Because he came out of college, he was holding the ball by his ear. You know, he was so different than he is now. He might have the second quickest release to Dan Marino that I've ever seen. And his is not as compact as Dan's, but he's just so quick twitch, he's able to get the ball out. If you've got off coverage with Metcalf, which you're going to get a lot, and you run him on a one-step slant on run game, that's a run play.
Yep.
That's a five-yard gain minimum. You've got to tackle a guy that's 6'4", 220, right? Like, and those are easy touches for him. Screens to Austin in space. Like, those are ways also to be efficient on base downs that don't require you to block up a loaded front. So, and he's one of the best ever at throwing those little key little tag routes that he'll just have that understanding. You'll see him look out the side of his eye. And that I think is that's the graduate work of Arthur Smith and Aaron Rodgers. Hey, this is what we did in Green Bay. This is what, okay, how do you want to do it, Aaron? Here's the mechanics. Go. And they may not get there by week one, but as things mature, they'll get there.
I think a lot of people look at DK Metcalf and they think, oh, he's a reasonable facsimile of George Pickens without all the issues. He's a totally different player.
Different.
No, run after the catch, strength, blocking.
Yep.
Jonnu Smith run after the catch.
Yep.
He's not just some dude throw it up. Screens, right.
I mean, mad tight end screens with him. Think about it. I mean, even from the slot, doing slot screens and middle screens, you're going to do slow screens with him. I mean, he's going to fake block and then turn, and then guy's going to be out in front of him. He's going to be able to run forever.
He runs away from people.
Yeah.
Yep.
He does.
He do everything with
it. It all comes down to how fast the quarterback can get the ball out of his hands, into their hands. And in terms of velocity and the quickness of a release, he's 41, but it's as quick as anybody in the NFL, and it can get there as fast as anyone in the NFL. And he probably has as good an understanding as when to do that, given the breadth of experience, that, again, you're going to have 4 or 5 yards to work with, and then you're in 2nd and 5. Then you can be aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the reasons you run it on 2nd and long is you're scared to death of 3rd and 10, right? And you don't want to be in 3rd and 12, so you want to guarantee. And they're you talk about living in your fears. That's where they were. And Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, and Kenny for that matter, have relatively slow releases compared to what they're working with right now. I mean, this guy can throw it 38 different ways from his hip up to over his head, and I think that's a weapon that can be utilized more than just in the drop back game. I think it's in the run game as well with little add-ons like that.
And when you talk about the hand signals, things of that nature, I mean, that's one of the reasons people think Rodgers is tough to play with. You know, the perception out there. He asks so much of his guys. First and foremost, maybe, hey, you better pick up the subtleties of what I'm doing and why I want to do it, why now. And you were one of the guys, the only guys on this last year, this whole Russell Wilson thing, with, oh, they took freedom away from him. Well, Pickens is hurt. Pickens comes back. There's a miscommunication between he and Russ in the Chiefs game. And you're working with young guys. You're working with Mike Williams, who's kind of new to things. Like, sure, it might have been they were not satisfied with Russell Wilson. It also might have been, we don't trust the guys who we have.
Right, to be on the same page.
DK Metcalf?
No, you're there.
You're there. Mm-hmm. You're going to be there because he's going to work to get there. And they don't feel like they had that with George Pickens.
I mean, they're rooming together. They share the same toilet. What do you think they're talking about at night?
Yeah.
Hey, man.
They're both pros.
Yeah. Where I look at you like this, like it's probably dark in the room. They're laying in their little beds in the dorm
little
room.
Little cots.
Yeah, little cots in the dorm room with a little refrigerator, drinking some water.
Yeah.
And talking about different signals and things that they can get against man coverage.
I mean,
do you think they say goodnight to each other? Or do you think they just fall asleep?
Absolutely. Good night, DK.
Do you really
good night, Aaron.
You really think?
Probably. Like somebody's probably on the iPad.
Probably like good night, bro.
It's real bright. Somebody's probably on their iPad watching who knows what. It's like, all right, good night.
If you're a Steelers fan right now,
kind of like a hint, like turn that thing off. Yeah. I'm trying to close my eyes. Yeah.
One of the reasons, and I know there was a lot of vitriol around Aaron coming here as the saga went on. Like, my question is, are people not excited to watch this guy play in black and gold? Like, one of the best to ever do it. As someone that just admires quarterback play and appreciates it probably more than most. I've never been more excited to watch. Like, he plays the position in such a different way, on such a masterclass. And to have that here, yeah, it's the tail end of his career. It's the swan song, probably. But, like, everything he said to this point has been spot on.
Mm-hmm.
He's taken it on the chin. His Terry Bradshaw answer was marvelous. I mean, marvelous. Nothing has said that he's anything but a great teammate. And you get a chance to go watch this guy play. And I know you're going to draft a quarterback next year, but appreciate it. Like, this dude came here and is going to show, he's going to play the position in a way that only he can. And it sometimes it's good, and then he'll go out and say, I try certain throws in practice, and I'm going to throw picks. I've never heard that from anybody. Like, I've never heard that. I never went in practice and tried throws that I wouldn't try in a game.
Ben Roethlisberger said he used to do that, but it wasn't to throw picks. It was, I'm gonna put the ball in difficult spots to see if my receivers can make plays.
But that's Hall of Fame stuff.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think
exactly.
That way. Most people don't think
I
that.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yep. People don't think that way, man.
No.
Like,
that's different
level stuff. And
You're so comfortable and confident in yourself that you can go and
people
do that
make the comparison.
I'm going to kind of screw up on purpose.
On purpose.
Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, like, not on the same level. One's an all-time great, like, Mount Rushmore type. The other one's a Hall of Famer. There are levels to that. There just are. And, yeah, they're both in rarefied air, but this dude's on another playing field.
We'll hear more from Aaron Rodgers when we come back. We've got Jeff Hathorn talking Bucks trades at the bottom of the hour. There is a new Pirates rumor out there that we'll also tell you about coming up next that makes me happy and sad all at once. But isn't that just Pirates fandom? You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Jeff Hathorn on with us in about 11 minutes here. He was among the media members who gathered to speak to Aaron Rodgers yesterday. His takeaway from that conversation. Also, he'll get into the Bucks trades. Key Brian Hayes to Cincinnati for a single, a shortstop, and a reliever. Reliever could get moved. Some rumors out there right now. Report, Pony tweeted this, and we reacted to a report earlier in the show that the Yankees had trade discussions with the Yankees about David Bednar. So Pony writes, Pirates and Yankees have discussed a David Bednar trade. Name to watch, Yankees catcher prospect Rafael Flores, New York's eighth-ranked prospect, hitting .280, 16 homers, 60 RBI at AAA, ready to play right now. I mean, that's the kind of bat that would be knocking on the door of the major leagues that you would like. So I would not hate that return, just thinking about it first blush. Where it makes you go crazy is you drafted a catcher 1-1.
Yeah.
And you got Joey Bart, who looked really good for you last year, and he's turned back into a pumpkin. You also had Andy Rodriguez. He's been lost for the year again. You went into this year with three catchers trying to figure out, oh, man.
Where are you going to play him?
Where are you going to play him? And now you're talking to the Yankees, reportedly, about moving David Bednar, whom people love around here, and the guy that you're targeting is a catcher? I'm not saying that's bad. Like, you probably should be. But I can't believe that we're there on Henry Davis. And if the Pirates are making that deal, they are waving the white flag on Henry Davis, a la what the Steelers would be doing if they brought in a tackle with Broderick Jones.
Yeah, developmental. You know, development. Just a huge issue, obviously, with the Pirates. So I still would want more for David Bednar, but that's me.
You can't just get one top 10 prospect.
No.
Not when you saw that Phillies deal for the Twins reliever that yielded two top 100 prospects.
Wouldn't you get more for Santana than Bednar?
I think it'd probably
be
similar.
He's been far more consistent.
Well, Bednar's been consistent since he came back.
Yeah.
Since he came back, he's gone, what, 17 for 17 in saves, right. One run in 23
appearances. Talking over the course of his...
Sure. Last year he was bad, and the beginning of this year he was bad. Yeah. Santana's been outstanding. I mean, if you could package both of them... And we talked about this off the air. If I'm the Yankees and I got a bullpen issue, and I can get both guys? I mean, eighth inning, figured out. Ninth inning, figured out. Or you got your current closer, but seventh, eighth inning, mm-hmm. figured out.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have sort of that Royals recipe from a few years ago where their bullpen was just by leaps and bounds the best in Major League Baseball. You do that with the Yankees offense, and I'd be willing to part with anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you played for a World Series last year. These are things Ben Cherington should be saying. Hey, you guys played for a World Series last year. You're having your urinating contest with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Los Angeles Dodgers, they ain't going away. You want to beat the Dodgers? You want to be the big, big market guys? Okay. Fork over some big dogs here. Let's go. It can't just, you're right. You're absolutely right about that, Doran. You need a catcher. Unfortunately, that guy would be nice. You can't just have it be for that. Not when you look at the market and what it's yielded so far.
And that's why I feel that David Bednar is going to be here still, because the asking price for him is higher than just the eighth prospect in the Yankees organization that's a catcher.
Which is why it isn't done yet.
Right.
Right. Which is a good sign.
Right.
That the Pirates aren't just
doing it just to do it.
Just to do it. Right. Correct. I mean, we're looking for good signs, and that is one.
Good point, guys. And that's why we read the tweet of the reporter earlier who said the Pirates and Yankees have been in conversation about Bednar in a deal that would send three players back
right.
from the Yankees. But, yeah, if it was good enough, it would have been done already.
Right.
We'll see. I think it would be crazy not to trade Bednar. I'm not sure you're wrong that they won't, though. And Bob Nutting, according to Noah Hiles and other reports, he nixed a deal a couple of years ago for David Bednar to go elsewhere. I think it was Baltimore that he was reported mm-hmm. to be shipped off to. So we'll see. You got a couple of different options here to move on the bullpen side of things. I'm giving you guys the hand gesture now for your ears.
Who's on the move? Another major league trade presented by Globe Airport Parking.
Except there's no trade right now. It's the calm before the storm.
Oh, gotcha.
They would call it, yeah.
I feel like my earwax has been unlodged.
That and the back hair in 24 hours? Not right. bad for your yeah. hygiene, Mr. Yep. Bostic.
Pretty good.
Damn all right. Jeff Hathorn's going to join us next to talk about the conversation with Aaron Rodgers, plus all the goings-on with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Training camp report with our sports director, Jeff Hathorn. Busy guy yesterday. Heard it was incredibly crowded at Steelers camp, what with Pat McAfee and it being the first day in pads. So Jeff hangs out, talks to Aaron Rodgers, hops in a car, drives to pit practice as they open August camp, and then you got all these Pirates trades. So much to get into with our guy Jeff Hathorn. Jeff, good morning. Thank you for joining us. And what did you glean from the Aaron Rodgers conversation?
Yeah, first of all, it's a big day for West Virginia with McAfee out here, and then all the stuff that Aaron was saying about Zach Frazier, how smart he is and how he's calling plays and kind of getting him up to speed. And one of the things we've learned about Aaron is the wit. And then he added, at some point I think I'm going to be calling the plays, but I'm okay with this right now. You guys were talking about it earlier, but what he said about the offense not being just a standard thing, like it can adapt. It's going to take these playmakers and mold it into what they think can be successful. And I think to me that says that Aaron has been given a lot of latitude to give his input into the offense. And listen, it's a week into camp. Most places are happy. I would say this place, including Aaron, is very happy.
Jeff, from what we've heard, Caleb Johnson, rookie running back, he had a rough day yesterday, first day in pads. Did you glean anything that was positive from Caleb Johnson yesterday that you couldn't look forward to?
Not surprised. For rookie running backs, it's often the case. I mean, Najee was a bit of an exception because of his size, but it's often the case for these guys to go up against experienced NFL players as a running back in a system where you didn't throw a lot in college. So I think that's things that he's just going to have to work through. But I'll say this, what we've seen so far is, man, if he messes a rep, he's that guy that he screws up a rep, and then he runs back to the front of the line because he wants to do it immediately again. And I think if you have that type of attitude, and we've seen the skill set, that should improve. But I would expect there'll be a couple other ones that are going to be a little rough for him as he's trying to figure things out and has enlisted the help of Jaylen Warren, especially on pass protect.
Jeff, we've talked a lot about adding a receiver, but let's talk about the ones that are in camp. The development of Roman Wilson, where does that stand? How has his camp been thus far?
It's early. They've done a lot of checkdowns and shallow routes to this point. They haven't really explored the offense, if you will. But he hasn't been – there hasn't been anything where, like, oh, wow, look at that. That being said, he hasn't been given a ton of opportunities. He's been working even as a gunner on special teams. He's trying to find a way to get on the field, but you start looking at different formations. You know, Gainwell's been working a lot as a receiver out of the backfield. You get the two tight ends that are going to be on the field. Metcalf out. Austin right now is there too. How does he find a way to get on that field? Because they're going to want Darnell in there in certain packages. Probably Robert Woods because of his blocking ability in certain packages. Like, you start doing the numbers and it's like, how does this guy find a way on the field? Like, as the pads are now on, this is monstrous. And these couple of preseason games are going to be huge for Roman just to show, like, hey, I can make an impact in a game.
Okay, everyone cover your ears. We do have a trade, at least one that's on the precipice of going down.
Who's on the move? Another Major League trade presented by Globe Airport Parking.
And I do think it could affect the Pittsburgh Pirates. So the Chicago Cubs, this is from Bob Nightingale about an hour ago. He writes, the Cubs are still in the market for another starter. Are one of the teams pursuing Cleveland's Shane Bieber, coming away impressed after scouting him in his last rehab start? Now, Shane Bieber, previously a Cy Young Award winner. Well, turns out the Blue Jays are at the goal line on a Shane Bieber trade. We know that the Cubs had been linked before to Mitch Keller. So that would take one starter off the market, and we'll see if maybe the Cubs circle back on Keller if the Pirates are interested in moving him. Jeff, your thoughts on the Key Brian Hayes trade yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, sixth best prospect now in their system. What sucks is, you know, they made that trade for a guy that's on an expiring contract, a lefty reliever who's very good, and an A-ball player who's projected to be in the majors maybe by 2027. And he seems like a good A-ball player. He's got speed. He's got defense. Doesn't have power. And it's another shortstop in the mix. I mean, it seems like it, on the surface, probably is a decent trade, but you'd hope for a guy under 4 years of control that you would have gotten something that's a little bit more imminent for this team. You know, guys, the Pirates, six of their top 11 prospects aren't able.
Well, at least it's the early stages of the rebuild, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's where and listen, we've heard from numerous insiders that Charrington's asking for a lot, and he should. I mean, he shouldn't give these guys away, but, man, he's got to hit something. Like, he's over these next, up until 6 o'clock, he needs to hit something that's going to impact this major league team. Because if not, they go into the offseason. Yes, more teams are interested, but they go in even more desperate, which gives the leverage to not the Pirates.
Jeff, what was the feel and the atmosphere at pit practice yesterday?
It's that first day, and they were excited. Probably excited that they weren't practicing the same time as the Steelers, more than anything. But, I mean, there is a confidence. There's a little bit of a swagger, especially offensively. I think Eli has taken over the leadership reins, and guys are gravitating towards him, and you can tell he understands the offense, and he's comfortable talking to guys. One of the big takeaways, guys, I took from this is Cade talked about it. Laster talked about it. They need some impact plays from receivers. I mean, of the 29 touchdown passes, 25 were in the red zone last year. I mean, they've got to find some impact plays out of the receiver position, whether it's Kenny Johnson or Poppy or Blue. Like, somebody's got to step up. And I think the receivers know this is a huge year for any one of them, because if one can step up, they can put themselves in good standing for what they want to do at the next point of their career.
Jeff, what do you gather from Pat Narduzzi heading into year 11? I mean, energy's still there, right? But he talked about pressure yesterday. Do you think there's pressure on Pat Narduzzi?
I think there's probably pressure every year. But I think this year, when you look at all the guys that are back, you look at that linebacking core, there is an opportunity for them to do something, special, to do something where they can contend, they can be in that ACC race. I mean, how many teams are returning a quarterback that played in the exact same system with an All-American running back and an All-American linebacker? There are pieces there.
Yep.
for them to take the next step. And I would say this, because a lot of the guys were asked about it, not one of them seemed worried about the pressure. To the Tomlin line of, you know, we run to it. Like, they seem to embrace the fact that we're good with any expectations people want to put on us because we have high expectations too.
Jeff, you were all over it yesterday. You'll be all over it today. Steelers camp moved to 10 a.m. and word just came out moments ago. No pads today because they go morning after an afternoon.
Yeah.
So which, times have changed a little bit, Doran.
Thanks. Yeah, that really stinks. I just saw Kaboli. I made sure I saw him from the front.
Don't go into the bathroom after him.
No.
Jeff, we appreciate your time as always. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
God, that guy works hard.
I mean,
he's everywhere.
Everywhere. He's got to have a clone.
No, he doesn't, man. There's only he's one of one.
Oh, really? You're going to go out on a limb and say no? Doran's making a joke. Just, no.
No, he doesn't.
No, no clones.
No, no clone.
You were surprised that it's year 11?
I really Narduzzi? Was. I really was. That
you
was
really
a,
think about it. It is
a natural
surprising.
Year 11.
Man. Crazy.
Well, and there had been tumult before that. I mean, and you got to find the right guy. And it's not easy because I think cultural fit is super important
yes.
in college football more
yep.
than just about any other sport. And, you know, there was some turnover there. And then this guy comes in, he wins an ACC championship, plays for another, and I know he feels really good about this year's team.
Well, I mean, I think the Pitt program was starting for stability for so long. I mean, even whenever Chris was here, I always had that feeling that he was going to make his way back to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
He just kind of felt that way. He gave a little bit of stability, but it still wasn't the stability that we were looking for. You know, as the Pitt football program, and Narduzzi has brought that, obviously. Year 11, he has brought that. He's brought culture. He's brought winning. And this year, just like Jeff said, and we've said a bunch of times, I say this all the time, you got one All-American on one side of the ball, another All-American on the other side of the ball. You better win some damn games.
Yeah, yep. I agree. And I think that, you know, he really did reinvent his thought process on the offensive side of the ball, bringing in Cade Bell. I have a lot more answers than questions this year going into the season. I had a ton of questions last year. And I think the preseason poll is indicative of that. I think Pitt was 13th last year. No one had any clue what this offense was going to look like. Now there's carryover, there's retention, there's continuity. I do think, though, for this team to be what it can be, you need a Kenny Johnson to be an All-American. Like you need a Rasheem Biles to be an All-American, too. Teams are going to find a way. You generally can take away your strength. They can limit the impact of your best player. In order to be great, you've got to have more than that. And they've got Biles back there on the other side. He fancies himself just as good. And, hey, we haven't had a 1A receiver. Kanate was a good player. Bub Means was flashed. But, like, okay, Kenny, you're a junior now, man. Like, this is your second year of the offense. No excuses. You're one. You're WR1, man. Go get it.
Yep.
And if they're going to win 10, 11 games and make a push, I think they've got to have 3-4 All-Americans, including those that are returning.
When we talked to Eli Holstein last week, he said he's 20 times more comfortable right now than where he was a year ago.
Oh, I can imagine. I mean, he got no reps with the ones
yep.
last year. He was the backup. I mean, but then you have pressure being the starter too. So that's new for him. But I'm very, very, very excited to watch this team, knowing what to expect. Last year, I did, coming off 3-9, I had a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. And those questions weren't even answered being 7-0. I mean, honestly, I felt like it was 7-0 with your pants on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it was just, how did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
This team needs to be more consistent and win more comfortably, if I think, early in the season for me to be like, okay, they're for real.
Less than a month away from Pat Narduzzi's 11th season. Unbelievable. All right, Social Media's Biggest Loser brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. Any last trade rumors we'll get to when we come back. 50-minute mark on the Fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Trade has been finalized. Shane Bieber to the Toronto Blue Jays. The Cubs had been poking around on Shane Bieber. They want a starting pitcher. They've been linked to Mitch Keller. Now there's a starter off the board. The Marlins got a couple of guys that are intriguing. There's starters available, but I'd put Mitch Keller at or near the top of the list. So we'll see how that all goes. Also, some breaking news out of Steelers camp.
Ah!
Feels right to get the typical breaking news sounder in there. We've been playing the On the Move sounder so much.
What was that?
That's a mummy. They found a mummy, and these, I don't know, scientists, they were able to recreate the voice box and make a sound of how this mummy would have sounded thousands of years ago, and this is what it came out, come up with.
That's way too far-fetched. There's no way that's true.
It's 100% real, and that's our breaking news sounder. Steelers PR has tweeted out that Isaac Seumalo is off the non-football injury list. He is expected to practice today. We're probably not going to get much on Broderick Jones today because it's not going to be a padded practice. They moved it up to 10 o'clock. They're just going to be out there in shells. So if Broderick play, I mean, he could probably practice in the team drills today, I'm guessing. And Tomlin said he'd be back. So that's the latest from Steelers camp, gentlemen. Pat, you getting anything else waxed today?
No.
What's left? So they did back?
Yeah. What are you doing today?
Bikini wax?
No.
No?
No. You going to install your bidet today?
I may well.
You may well.
Install my bidet today, yeah. People on the text line telling me it's real easy. So I think I might take a crack at it.
I can see it now.
Take a crack at it. There you go.
There you go, buddy. That's why you're the funniest guy on the fan, not Dom DiTommaso. Dom said yesterday he's the funniest guy on the station. Doran's out here making butt crack puns.
I can see like the water just shooting into the ceiling because you mess it up.
Think of the bonus points, the brownie points I get, though.
You
like that
there
one.
There we go.
If I am able to do that before my wife gets home from work and there's a functional bidet for when she gets home, she'll look at me. I'll keep some of the grime and dirt on my hands, too, so I look like a blue-collar man. She'll love that.
Yeah, then it breaks whenever she tries to use it.
That's the risk, yeah.
Yeah.
But Ben Charrington said there can be no reward without risk, so I'm going to give it a shot. We'll see what Ben Charrington's able to pull off over the course of the rest of the day. The trade deadline about 8 hours away now. Joe Starkey is up next. Thank you, Pat. This was fun.
Enjoyed every second.
Doran, award-winning show from you today.
Yes.
Harry, good job. We got the Hall of Fame game tonight.
Uh-huh.
If something happens worth talking about tomorrow, that means something bad happened. So let's hope everyone stays healthy at the Hall of Fame game tonight, and the interviews are good, and we can have a good time with it. All right, Starkey up next. First, Fan Weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high at 82, low of 65, 65% chance of rain.